Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today. Trusting God for Joshua chapter number one. Joshua chapter number one. And man, what a powerful book Joshua is. When I read the book of Joshua, here's what it makes me want to do. It makes me want to do something for God, man. It makes me want to claim a promise from God, and it makes me want to attempt to do the impossible, because that's what happens in the book of Joshua, man. It's amazing what God does in the book of Joshua. Now, I want to look at it tonight, and again, we're not going to come close to getting done with the book of Joshua tonight. I don't know how long we're going to be in it. I know this. I've got about six or seven different books that I'm reading on it right now, and I've just got through the introduction of those books, and I just really am starting to get into the book. Whenever you come to the book of Joshua, you'll find that it covers approximately 25 to 30 years. And whenever you begin to study this, you'll find that the purpose here in the book is to demonstrate God's faithfulness to His promise by leading Israel into the land of Canaan as He led them out of Egypt. Now, I want you to take your Bible now. You can hold your finger in Joshua chapter number 1. But I want you to go back to Genesis chapter number 15. Genesis chapter number 15. I want to read you something in Genesis chapter number 15. Before we get to going too fast, let's pray tonight. God, I pray that You'd help us. Lord, You know our need tonight. I pray, God, that You'd touch us, Father. I pray, God, that You'd touch our voice tonight. I pray, God, that You'd touch our mind tonight. And God, I pray that we get understanding from Your word tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that You give us a mind of Christ as we teach and preach tonight. And we'll give You the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Look what the Bible said in Joshua chapter number 15, verse number 18. The Bible said this: "In the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abraham, saying, unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river Euphrates unto the great river, the river of Euphrates." Now, go with me to Deuteronomy chapter number 6. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And I want to look at a verse right here. Deuteronomy chapter number 6. The Bible said this in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse number 23. Deuteronomy chapter number 6, verse number 23 says this: "And He brought us out from thence that He might bring us in to give us the land which He sware unto our fathers." Now, God has made a covenant with Abraham to allow His people to go into Canaan's land. Now, I've said this many times before, but let me say it again tonight. Canaan's land that we read about in the book of Joshua is not a picture of heaven. Canaan's land is a picture of the victorious Christian life. If it's a picture of heaven, then something's wrong with the picture. You say, why? Here's the reason why. There's not going to be no battles in heaven. There's not going to be no death in heaven. There's not going to be no sorrow in heaven. All of that will be done away with. Amen. And Canaan land is a picture of the victorious Christian life. Now, hear me tonight. When we got saved, God promised us victory in Him. It's not in us. It's not in what we can do. But our victory is found in a promise that God gives us. God's intention for us tonight is not to live in doubt and not to live in defeat and not to live in despair and despondency. God's plan for us is to live a victorious Christian life and walk in the blessings of God. That doesn't mean that sometimes the going's not going to get tough, because it is. But greater is He that is in me than he that is in this world. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. God will give us the victory through the battles that we face. Now, here in Joshua, in the first five chapters, they're claiming the land.
Then in the next, in chapter 6 through 12, they're conquering the land. Chapter 13 through 24, they're controlling the land. Now, pick up with me chapter 1, verse number 1. Chapter 1, you're just going to have to excuse me tonight. I'm going to have to drink a little more water because this allergy medicine's got me dry. Man, that's good. Chapter 1, verse 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise. Now, therefore, arise. You know what he says to Joshua? Get up. Are you with me? Joshua, get up. He said, arise, go over this Jordan. He didn't say only get up. He said, start moving, amen. Go over this Jordan, thou and all this people into the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. I thought about this in the first 9 verses of chapter number 1. There is the commission of God to Joshua. God commissions Joshua to take over the First Baptist Church of Israel and to lead them on. But when you come to verse number 10 through verse number 18, there is the command of Joshua to the people. And you know what? I find it interesting. God tells Joshua what to do, and Joshua tells the people what to do. What does he say? The message stays the same. Look in verse number 11. Pass through the host of the command of the people, saying, prepare your vigils, for within 3 days ye shall watch thee pass over this Jordan to go in to possess the land which your God giveth you to possess it. This book is the story of people who have already been redeemed by the blood and by the power of God from Egyptian bondage. Thus, the subject is the character and calling of a redeemed people. Israel entered into the land of Canaan with a promise, the present, the precepts, and the protection of God. But they also entered in with the provision of God, because God provided them a man to lead them the way into Canaan. Now, I want to say something to you right here, and don't nobody fall out with me and don't die on me, but God's always used a man to lead his people, and God always will use a man to lead his people. Nowhere will you find in the Word of God where the lady asserts authority over the man. You can say amen or oh me. The right thing's amen, because I'm giving you the Bible tonight. He uses the man to lead the people. He used the man in Genesis. Amen. He uses him right here. He uses him in the church house. He uses him down at your house if it's in order. God used the man to lead. You say you're male chauvinist. No, you're crazy, man. I got a wife. I got a mama. I got a sister. And I got 3 daughters and 4 nanny goats, okay? But I'm just telling you, that's the way God set this thing up. He used a man, and he does it right here. Now think about this. The beginning of Joshua presents Israel with a major change and challenge. I thought about this. The challenge in climbing a mountain is not how high it is or how sheer its cliffs are. The challenge in climbing a mountain is not in the mountain itself, but is in us as we attempt to climb the mountain. Did you hear what I just said? Sir Edmund Hillary said this. After an unsuccessful attempt to climb Mount Everest, he said, I will beat this mountain, for the mountain cannot change, but I can. For the mountain cannot change, but I can. Now, I've used a word that we don't like, but I'm going to stay on it just a minute, and it's the word change. You see, if Israel was going to enter in to Canaan's land, there was going to have to be some changes. Moses couldn't take them in. Moses took him as far as he could go. Moses led him as far as he could go. My dad and I don't want to say much about this, but because of live feeding several things, but my dad and I had a long conversation this week and this past week about church and about leading and about a vision. And here's what he said. He said, when God was done with me, I no longer had a vision for where the people was to go. He said, so I stepped out of the way and somebody else came in. Watch this. God moved Moses out of the way because he had took him as far as he could take him. But God had another man that was ready to step in and take him to the next level. And Joshua does that. But they had to go through change to see that. And don't get nothing in your mind. I'm not resigning when I get done. They had to go through change to be able to do that. They had to go through change. Personally, I think the reason that we fear change is because it forces us out of our comfort zone and requires us to exercise more faith. That's what change does. Unbelief says, let's get back where it's safe. Faith says, let's go forward where God is working. Unbelief says, I can quit. This is too hard. It doesn't work. Faith says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Unbelief says, I wish I had obeyed and trusted and believed God. Faith says, I fought a good fight. You know what I'm saying to you? Here's what I'm saying to you tonight. Joshua is a man of faith, and it's a book of faith. I thought about this in the first five chapters. Now, if you want an outline on all 24 chapters of faith, I can give it to you. I'll give you the first five. Watch this. Think about this with me tonight. Faith's challenge in chapter number one, Joshua was a new leader. There's faith's common sense in chapter number two, spying out Jericho. There's faith's crisis in chapter number three, crossing the Jordan. There's faith's commemoration in chapter number four. There's a memorial set up. There's faith's confirmation in chapter number five because there's circumcision of the new generation. The book of Joshua is a book of faith. And to move forward, there must be faith. There must be faith. Now, here's what I want to talk to you about tonight. I want to look in these first nine verses. We'll not get through them, but I've used some of what I'm going to say from here on out before here at the church. So if you've heard me, just stay with me. I tried to go a different route and God wouldn't let me. Here's what I want to talk to you about. It's time to move on. It's time to move on. Moving on means change. Are you hearing me? Moving on means change. I in recent days, I've thought a lot about the past 17 years. Matter of fact, on Friday afternoon and all day Saturday, I really inventoried the past 17 years here at the church. And boy, I'm telling you, man, what some great days. Me and Brother Robert, and pray for him, he's sick tonight. That's the reason he's not here. But we was talking about some of it, and man, what great days we've had in the past 17 years. But you know what? If we had been willing to change, we'd still be where we was at when I started. Now, there's some things let me just say it this way, and you teachers just look over the English. There's some things we just ain't going to change on. Are you with me right there? I don't have to preach that tonight. You know that. We're not changing our music. We're not changing our Bible. We're not changing our dress. We're not taking our pulpit out. We're not putting purple lights everywhere. We're just going to stay the way we are in some things. But change is okay. Change is okay tonight. I thought about this. If you're going to move on, there's got to be some change. There's got to be some change. And you know what? Sometimes we just need to move on. We just need to move on. I don't know about at your house, but every once in a while at my house, my kids will have discussions about things. Let me put that in low gap terms. They fuss and fight, okay? And I'll tell them, hey, look, you need to forget about it. Don't worry about it. They'll keep on and keep on. And Brother Brian, I'll just have to set them down and say, hey, it's time to move on. Amen. And tell you something, maybe we just need to move on tonight. Maybe there are some things in our life. Maybe there's some things in your life. Maybe there's some things in my life that we just need to let the past be the past and move on from. Let me show you three things tonight. Number one, I see this on it's time to move on. Number one, I see the memories. I see the memories. Look in verse number one. Now, after the death of Moses. The death of Moses was an event that brought everything to a standstill in the nation of Israel. This is the man that has led them for the past 40 years. This is the man that God has used. This is the man that God has taught. And this is the man that God's going to use to bring them out. Brother Rodney, I'm switching mics tonight because I feel like I might have to walk around a little bit. All right. And if my voice was fine, I wouldn't worry about it. Check 1, 2, 12. Praise God. All right. I'm preaching an hour now. I can hear myself a little bit better now. Now, think Miss Wendy, we was eating last night, Brother Hazelip's wife, and she said, you know, when the preacher tells him, I need to hear myself some more, I think in the backside of my mind, that sounds kind of vain, doesn't it? But if you've ever had monitors, you know what I'm saying. I need to hear myself a little bit more. Now, think about this. Moses has led the children of Israel, and it's, you know what, there's, let me just say it this way. To some of those people, he's the only quote-unquote man of God, Brother Aaron, they've ever known. They've never known nothing besides that. Why? Because he was the one that, can I preach it in our dispensation? He's the one that dedicated them when they was a little baby. He's the one that came by their Sunday school class on Sunday morning and told them that he loved them. He's the one that went to picnics with them. He's the one that's led them the whole time. But whenever we come to the book of Joshua, guess what? He's dead now. He's dead. He's dead. Moses was an event. The death of Moses was an event that brought nation of Israel to a standstill. Moses had an Egyptian education and desert training. The greatest Jewish leader and set the Exodus in order. A prophet and a lawgiver. The author of the Pentateuch saw the burning bush, and on we could go. Definitely there was a great memory for Moses. There was a great memory. But guess what? That's what it was. It was a memory. And if you're ever going to move on, you're going to have to let some things just be a memory in the past. You're going to have to forget about it, man. You're going to have to let it go. I thought about this. If you don't leave your past in the past, you will destroy your future. Live for what today has to offer, not what yesterday has taken away. Can I just say that again? Live for what today has to offer and not for what yesterday is taken away. It was a memory to them. I thought about what the Bible said in Philippians chapter number 3, verse number 13. He says this, forgetting those things which are behind. He said this one thing I do, this one thing. He said forgetting those things which are behind, reaching forth to the things which are before. You know what he was saying? He was saying this, I'm going to let yesterday be yesterday. I'm going to let it be a memory of days gone by. There's nothing I can do about that. It's a memory and we must let it go. I thought about this. Our past, hear me right here. Our past does not need to be buried. It needs to be cremated. Our past. You've heard me say this many times. You've heard me say this many times. If you're constantly talking about what you used to do for God, then something's wrong. If all you can do is sit back and say, boy, I remember a time I taught Sunday school, or I remember a time I sung a special, or I remember a time. Hey, you're living in a memory, man. Moses is dead. Move on. Move on. Number one, there's the memories. Number two, there's the minister. Can I just say this to you? Thank God for memories. Amen. Thank God for memories. Boy, I look back at 2016 and that revival 5 weeks long. I think about that gospel tent. All three of my children got saved underneath that gospel tent.
The question's been asked, will it ever be set up again? I don't know. It's been set up multiple times in the past few years by Brother Chris Hewitt. I don't know if it'll ever be set up around here again. There is some talk about that, and maybe the Lord will let us do that again. Who knows? We may have a 10-year anniversary of it and set it back up and have Brother Dorsey maybe come back and preach again. I don't know, but I know this. It's a great memory. I thank God for what He done. I bless His name for the hundreds of lives that was changed and the preachers that was called, but it's a memory. It's a memory. I can't live there. I can't live there. Hey, you know what? Thank God for Easter Sunday and the church being packed out, but I can't live there. Thank God for this past Sunday. Is anybody hearing the preacher tonight? Moses is dead. It's time to move on. Number one, there's the memory. Number two, there's the minister. Number two, there's the minister. He said, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, God, watch this. I want you to hear me right here. I don't know why I'm preaching this on Wednesday night, but I'm going to. When God shuts the door, God opens the door. And if God shut the door and you don't see the door open yet, just wait in the hallway. He'll open it. If He shut the door, there's no need to revisit the door. Can I just say that again? If He shut the door, there's no need to revisit the door. Wait in the hallway, and I promise you, He'll open another door. Amen? Now, think about this. God is fixing to use Joshua to come on the scene. When we think about Joshua, think about this. Joshua was a slave born in Egypt, and from my studying was the firstborn that I can find. Joshua was a soldier. Joshua was a soldier. Can I just say that again? Joshua was a soldier. If you're going to move on, you're going to have to be a soldier about this thing. There was a time that we was all enslaved to the sin of prison and the prison of sin, and we was in bound to that, but God set us free from that. Whenever you think about Joshua, this man that God uses, if you go to Exodus chapter number 17, it's the first mention of him. It's the first official record of Joshua in chapter number 17. And you that knows the word of God knows that that is a time when Moses is in a battle. And the Bible said this. He tells that Moses talks to Joshua and he tells him what to do. And now hear me and hear me well. Aaron and Hur done a great job right there. They held the man of God's arms up. And we give the credit in Exodus 17 to Aaron and Hur all the time. That's where we put the credit at. But let me tell you something. They had to be somebody on the battlefield. They had to be somebody. Can I just put it this way? They had to be somebody down there in the guts and in the blood and in the nastiness of the battlefield. Are you hearing me? Let me tell you who it was that was leading them down there. It wasn't Aaron and Hur. They done a great job. Thank God for Aaron and Hur. Hey, thank God for Aaron and Hur's in our church. But hear me and hear me well. We need some Joshuas that will get in the midst of everything. That'll not just say, I'm praying for you, but will get on the battlefield and go to work, man. Joshua was a soldier. Joshua, I'm talking about this minister that he sent him. Joshua was a servant. He is mentioned the second time in Exodus 24, where he is described as the minister of Moses. In other words, Joshua was a servant. Joshua was able to go in to the Mount of God in Exodus 24 because he was a servant. Joshua was a spy. I'm headed somewhere. Joshua was a spy, Numbers 13. But right here in our text, Joshua was a successor. Joshua was the one that God in it wasn't Aaron. Was it her? You know who God used to take over when Moses was out of the way? That man that was down there on the battlefield, that was in the midst of everything, that man that walked up into the land of Canaan and said, we're well able to possess the land, that man that was right there beside of Moses for anything that he needed, and God used him ultimately to step on the scene and lead Israel. Here's the problem today. We want all of the glory of leadership without the servanthood of leadership. Can I get an amen? I was thinking, and we was talking back during youth camp, and two or three of the younger preachers had said, man, I wonder what it's like. And they asked, what's it like to moderate the service and to sit on the platform? And I said, it's a lot of sleepless nights. Are you hearing me? It's a lot of sleepless nights. It's, Brother Brian, days of reading over insurance policies. You see, everybody, Brother Mark, everybody wants to run the plumbing company, but nobody wants to pump the septic tank. Can I just say it? That's kind of rude, but I think you understand what I'm saying. Joshua, the reason God used Joshua in the way that he did, Joshua was willing to do whatever Moses needed done. And now in the memories, Joshua steps up on the scene and says this, it's time to move on, man. It's time to move on. It's time to move on. Number one, there's the memories. Number two, there's the minister. Right here's where I preach to get to. There's the mandate. There is the mandate. God allows Israel to walk down memory lane. And can I say this to you? Thank God for memory lane. Are you with me? There's some preachers that was my heroes. Man, I love them to death, but they're definitely not today what they was at one time. You know what I do, Brother Ramsey? I just choose to focus on the good times that I had with them and move on. There's memories. There's the minister that God gives them to lead them. But then there's the mandate. There's the mandate. Look with me in verse number 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Moses, my servant, is dead. I remember Brother Noah Fry. And I want to be careful on what I say here, but I remember Brother Noah Fry. Brother Noah Fry, if you never knew Brother Noah Fry, boy, you missed out. He was a prince of preachers, man. I'm telling you, he was a prince of preachers. He was a pastor to me in early days when I came here. And boy, I'm telling you, him and Miss Polly would talk to me and Miss Leslie. They'd sit at our house, and we'd sit in their camper out here, Brother Brian, when they would come. And I'm telling you, they was a blessing. He preached, I guess, the first 7 or 8 years I was here. He preached for us every year. Matter of fact, he pretty much got to a place he couldn't preach anymore. He pretty much come every year and preach for us here at Amazing Grace. And I'll never forget, I had been here 3 or 4 years. Man, it just seemed like, man, we just couldn't get off the ground. We couldn't get off the ground. And he talked to me one night after the service. And he said this to me. He said, there's something you keep bringing up. I said, okay. And I thought, I know I'm fixing to get rebuked and I'm just going to take it. I said, well, help me, preacher. He said, you really want me to? And I said, yes, sir. And here's what he said. He said, Junior Easter's dead. Leave him in the graveyard. He said, it's just fine every once in a while to say thank God for the man of God that started our church and that blazed the trail for us to be here. He said, but you've got to understand, when Moses died, Joshua took over. And he said to this, I'll never forget this. He said, it's time for you to take over and move on as the leader. And I tell you something, there's a mandate that come from Joshua to those people. There's a mandate that came from Joshua to those people. And here's what it is. There's a precept in it, and there's a promise in it. Look with me in verse number 2. I told y'all we weren't going to get done with the book of Joshua tonight. Verse number 2, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, into the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. You know what he says to them? He says, it's time to get moving, man. It's time to quit living in the past. Watch this. I'll show you the precept first. We'll see it through the first 9 verses. I'm not going to preach it long. Just stay with me. I'm watching the time. There's the precept about moving. There's a precept about moving. What does he say? He says, arise and go. Arise. That don't mean you need to leave our church, okay? Let me just make that real clear, real quick, okay? Here's what he says. It's time to leave the past in the past. You'll never walk into the future looking in the past. They sometimes, is anybody hearing the preacher tonight? They sometimes were saying, we just got to let it alone. We just got to move on from it. We just got to move on from it. We just got to let it be. We can't keep living there. We can't keep revisiting that. We've got to let it be what it is. Now, I want to say something to you. Church hurt is real. I know that. If anybody knows that, my wife and I knows that. You invest your life. You do everything you can do for them. You leave your family to go be with them, for them to turn their back on you and talk about you and run you in the ground. You know how I can tell if somebody's godly when they leave a church? Now, just tell you something. Let me tell you how I know if they're godly and they're a good Christian when they leave our church. What they say about me to everybody else. Well, it got real quiet right there. But I'm going to tell you something. You'll learn people's true character. You can disagree with somebody and not run them in the ground. Can I just say that again? You can disagree with somebody and not run them in the ground. And here's what Joshua says. He says to the children of Israel, it's time to arise and go. It's time to leave the past in the past. It's time to forget about it. It's time to quit wallowing in it. It's time to quit revisiting it. Here's what God said. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Joshua, I'll give you somebody else. Now it's time to move on. Can I just say it this way? It's time to lock in and go to work and serve God. There was a mandate. There was a precept in this, and it was a precept of moving. He said, arise and go. It was a precept about not only his moving, there was a precept about his might. His might. Look in verse number 9. The Bible said this. And let me just back up. It's very interesting that, and I know I've already said, but I want to say it again. Joshua does not change the message when he goes to the people. He says exactly what God told him. He said, pass over this Jordan. He said, move on. But watch this. I hope you're getting that. If we're not careful, we'll get bogged down in the past and we'll become bitter. We'll not understand it. I preached last night, it's all going to be all right in the area of our calamities. There's some things we just don't understand. I just don't understand it. To this day, we're coming up on the month of May, and it's a great time, but it's also a hard time. And Brother Kevin, to this day, I still don't understand why Brady's not here. I don't know. I don't understand it. Are you hearing me tonight? I don't get it. Had the rest of his life in front of him. He's just 13, man. He was the center of attention, man. Last service he was in church, stood on the front row and stood up and bragged on God and thanked God for saving him, thanked God for his family, was excited about youth camp. I don't know why he's not here. But I can't live in what I don't know. I must live in what I do know. And I do know this, God's grace is sufficient. God has never made a mistake. His ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. So I can't live in what I don't know. I can live in what I do know. And I do know this, God's gave me a word to move on and keep serving Him. There was the precept for the moving. There was the precept of the might. The reason I can move, watch verse number 9. Have not I commanded thee, watch this, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee. There was a precept about His moving. There was a precept about His might. He said, be strong in the Lord. There was a precept about His morale. He said this, neither be thou dismayed. Are you hearing me? Weeping may endure for the night, but joy cometh in the morning, man. Thank God. What's He saying? He's saying our morale is this. We don't have to be dismayed. I'm talking about as we move on. We don't have to walk around with our head down. We don't have to walk around thinking about this and thinking about that. We've got a God that's still on the throne. We've got a God that's still alive and well. We've got a God that His Son is still making intercession on our behalf. We've got the Holy Spirit that's making intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered, man. There's no need to hang our heads down. There's no need to walk around this discouraged and dismayed and defeated. Thank God we've got Him tonight. There's a precept about the morale. There's a precept about His manual. He said in verse number 8, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. He said, hey, look, I've give you, amen, I've give you something. I've give you a roadmap. I've give you basic instructions before leaving earth. Here it is. Here's the manual, man. Watch this. And then there's the precept about His meditation. He said, instead of meditating on the past, He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt, verse number 8, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. He gives him something to meditate on. It's the Word of God, amen. Well, that might not be helping nobody, but it is me. The mandate, as he deals with moving on, I see the precept, but watch the promise. The promise is this. There's the promise in the mandate, the possession of the land. I thought about this. It was free, but think about the fullness of it. There's the wilderness, the south border, the Lebanon, the north border, the Euphrates, the east border, land of the Hittites, the great sea, the west border. You know what he says? I'm going to give it all to you. And let me hear me tonight. When we're talking about Canaan, we're talking about the victorious Christian life. And we can live in the fullness. We can live. I ought not tell you this book, but you probably won't buy it and read it anyway. Alan Redpath's book on the book of Joshua. Living the victorious Christian life, man. We can live in the fullness of it. God wants us. You know what was waiting on them? Milk and honey. Brother Mays used to say that they took the grapes, the hull of the grapes, and put them over their heads and wore them for shower caps. The grapes were so big in the land of Canaan. All of that's for us. Are you hearing me tonight? Walking in the true fellowship with God, walking in favor with God. Hey, if you're in the wilderness, it's your own fault. If you're in the desert, it's your own fault. God's promised us so much more. And the possession of this mandate is this. Thank God we can have it tonight. Go home and read Romans 6, 7, and 8. Especially chapter number 8. We can live in the fullness of God. Think about this. There's the possession of the land, the promise in this mandate. There was a promise for the possession of the land. There was a promise for the power for the Lord. What did the Bible say in verse number 5? He said, there will not any man be able to stand before thee. Daddy used to say this. He said, me and God is a majority any place, any time against any number. If God be for you, Romans chapter number 8, if God be for you, who can be against you? You study that little word, the if, out right there, and you know what it means? It means since. Since God be for you. There was the power for the land. I can't live a victorious Christian life within myself, but I have a power that I can tap into. I can't let the past go by myself, but I have a power that I... Amen. The promise in the man, there was a promise for the possession of the land, the power for the land. There was a promise of the presence in the land. Look what he said in verse number 5. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. Look in verse number 9. He said this, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. You know what we have tonight? We have a promise of the presence of God as we go through this land. We have the promise of Him. He said, I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. He'll always be with us. Amen. I want to ask you a question tonight. Miss Lisa, do you care to play something for us tonight? Madeline's working tonight. Miss Tina's got a baby. Miss Tanya's over yonder. Miss Courtney's out of town. Boy, thank God for people to serve the Lord in our church. Amen. I want to ask you a question. Is it time for you to move on? I'm not talking about leaving church. It ain't time for you to do that. Is it time just to let some things go? Just forget about it. Just let it be. Just move on. We've got God's Word to help us. And if we continually live in the past, we'll never experience what God has for us in the future. Think about that. Well, preacher, I just don't know if I could ever this or if I could. Well, if we'll trust Him, man will let you down. Can I say that again? Man will let you down. I'll let you down. You'll let me down. Let me say that again. I'll let you down. It's okay to say amen right there. You'll let me down. Amen. I'll say amen right there. But we don't look at each other. Our eyes is not focused on earthly things. They're focused on eternal things. Sometimes we just need to be reminded. Moses is dead. God's provided somebody. Let's just move on. Let's just move on.